Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering the village, ten persons with leprosy met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice, and he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, "Ten were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other nine? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, Stand up and go, for your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Christ. St. Anne, a.k.a. Hannah in Hebrew, means favor or grace, the gift of David's line. We know Anna as the mother of Mary and therefore the grandmother of Jesus, the husband of Joachim. We know Anna or Saint Anne as the patron of our parish. And so how wonderful it is to be able to celebrate our last Eucharist in Jerusalem here in this beautiful church. Now, as you're probably aware, you're not going to find the name of Mary's parents in the Bible. There is an ancient document from about the year 150 called the Proto-Evangelium of James. And it's in that document that it talks about Anna and her husband Joachim. One of the stories in that document talks about the difficulty they were having conceiving a child. And so, of course, they turned to God in prayer so that they might be blessed with having a child. As the story is told, Joachim goes out into the fields for about 3 days, and Anna stays at home. They're both praying for a child, and an angel appears to them and says that they will indeed be blessed with a child. They come back together, and they embrace at the city gate. Beautiful artworks done about the embrace of Joachim and Anna. If some of you are members of the Knights of Columbus, about a year or so ago, there was a cover that had a mosaic from the Vatican of Joachim and Anna in this beautiful embrace. And so I suppose if there are people who are having difficulty in conceiving or having difficulty with pregnancy, St. Anne would be a good patroness to ask for her intercession. Now, the conception of Mary, as I pointed out at the beginning of the Mass, we know as the Immaculate Conception. That is, that Mary is kept free from original sin from the very first moment of her existence, because God knew that eventually she would say yes to becoming the mother of his son, Jesus. God wanted a perfectly pure vessel to carry his son. That dogma of the Immaculate Conception has been believed for a long, long time in the history of the church. But it was finally declared on December the 8th, 1854, the first time that the popes used this gift of infallibility. Now, in art, Anna is usually shown as an adult woman with a little girl at her knee, and that little girl is Mary. Anna is usually shown as teaching her daughter about the things of God. Some of you are familiar with the antique statue that's in the foyer of our church. And if you can picture that statue, you know that Anna is teaching Mary how to pray. In many other statues, either Anna or Mary has a book or a scroll in their hand. Either Anna has a book and she's pointing to something in the book, or she or Mary is holding a scroll. Now, if you're really observant at St. Anne's, you'll notice a white statue outside in the courtyard. And who's holding the scroll in that particular statue? Any guess? I should let you just wonder about that and go home and look. It's Mary who's holding the little scroll in her hand in that statue. In the entrance to our school, and we certainly want to remember St. Anne's School today, there's a statue just in the entryway. Again, Anna and Mary. And they're holding a long scroll. And interestingly, there's a psalm written on there. And it says, "Blessed are those who walk in the way of the Lord." The interesting thing is, the writing is in Latin. So I doubt that Anna would have been teaching Mary something in Latin in her own day. But of course, realism is not the point. The point would be so to be able to communicate that sense, and that statue comes from a day when more than a few people could understand Latin. Blessed is he who walks in the name of the Lord. So let's use St. Anne as a model of good parents and good grandparents, and be sure that we teach our children well the importance of the faith, who Jesus is, and how to follow him in their lives. I would like to just conclude with some selected verses from Psalm 147. It's a psalm of a pilgrim who's been to Jerusalem and is praising God, giving thanks to God for all that God has done. Some selected verses from Psalm 147. How good to sing praise to our God. How pleasant to give fitting praise. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. With the lyre, make music to our God. Glorify the Lord, Jerusalem. Zion, offer your praise to God. For he has blessed your children within you. He brings peace and satisfies with the finest wheat. Besides the obvious references to Zion and Jerusalem, I think that we have felt blessed as God's children here in Jerusalem and in Israel in general. When we hear that he's blessed his children with the finest wheat, we should hear Christ as the bread of life, the Eucharist. And when we hear of the church, or when we hear of Jerusalem, rather, we should think of the church and ultimately of the new Jerusalem, the kingdom of God. The last word of that psalm, I'd like you to repeat after me, and it is, Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.